Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to meet the team behind Minnesota's vet centers and get an update from our 1st Brigade Red Bulls. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Your Minnesota National Guard is a unique military organization that we have a dual role. Our chain of command includes both our governor and our president. We serve both overseas in combat roles and here at home in response to state emergencies. More than 13,000 strong, the soldiers and airmen of your Minnesota National Guard are based in more than 60 communities across our great state. From our Air National Guard units in Duluth and the Twin Cities to our Army National Guard units stationed in Rosemont, Bloomington, St. Paul, Camp Ripley, and elsewhere, the soldiers and airmen of your Minnesota National Guard live here, work here, and serve here. It is our mission to be a good community partners. We partner with local law enforcement agencies, schools, and an assortment of community organizations as part of our counter drug program. In our role as emergency management response agency, we're prepared to protect Minnesota from any hostility, be it winter weather, floods, wildfires, civil unrest, or a pandemic. While I'm in the community, people often stop me to thank me for my service. I'm always humbled by that gesture of gratitude, but I'm also proud in the knowledge that the Minnesota National Guard is always ready to protect our community and always there to respond.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're going to talk today with the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, which is part of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division, Colonel Tim Kemp. Colonel Kemp, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me back, Tom, to represent the soldiers of the 1st 34th Armored Brigade Combat Team.
Sir, I don't think I've asked you this on the radio before, but for all the rest of us that were never Red Bulls and like an Air Force guy like me, can you explain to our listeners the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team is part of the infantry division? But how does that all come together, and is there a simple way for our listeners to think about the 1st ABCT?
Well, I think to start with, the Minnesota's own division, which is the 34th Infantry Division, and its patch, of course, has the Red Bull on it, and that's why we affectionately call ourselves the Red Bulls, and that goes back in history and is part of our overall historical heritage of the division and its units and organizations. And then underneath the division, there's multiple brigades, and the Armed Brigade Combat Team just happens to be the 1st Brigade of the 34th Infantry Division. There's also a 2nd Brigade of the 34th Infantry Division that's out of Iowa. And then within the 1st Brigade Combat Team here in Minnesota, we're from every community across the state. We've got 2 and 3-6 in the northwest corner. We have 9 per cab in the northeast corner, and then down south we've got 2135 infantry and the 1125 field artillery, and then the rest of our battalions are intermingled all over the state. So I think the best thing to know from those that are listening is we're from every community across the state, with the majority of our soldiers from the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and St. Paul, all proud to say that they're part of the 1st of the 34th Armored Brigade Combat Team and part of the Red Bull Division.
Thank you, sir. The last time you were on the show, you were just on their way back from a deployment out to California as part of the NTC, the National Training Center. And for that deployment, it was complicated by the fact that the coronavirus pandemic had just hit, and you not only had to take on an army unit out in the desert for a couple of weeks, but you had to deal with the COVID-19, keep your soldiers healthy, and it sounded like you were the first unit to be able to go out there and successfully navigate that since the pandemic.
Army Forces Command to conduct a National Training Center rotation in preparation for the deployment that we knew was going to be scheduled in this year, which we're about to execute with a portion of our formation this year, last year. So there was an effort led, unprecedented effort, all the way from the Chief of Staff of the Army Forces Command down to our division headquarters, National Guard Bureau, and then within the state here and the governor's support of us. With our COVID mitigation strategy to keep our soldiers healthy, to monitor them before we mustered at Camp Ripley, to go out to NTC to test them at Camp Ripley before they went. And then once we're on the ground, we tested them again if they showed any symptoms. And we continued to operate and actually conducted combat operations at the brigade level with 14 other states that all went through the same rigor for the COVID-19 mitigation. I'm proud to say that all the Red Bulls and then everybody else that supported us from the 14 different states executed extremely well. Our evaluation was one of the highest that was out at the National Training Center in a normal environment. Even though in the end we ended up with, every day we were readjusting our task organization based on the impacts of the virus and units not showing up or showing up late because they were going through the COVID mitigation process, and we just continued the fight. And it was a good way for the Army to see in this environment or an environment similar to COVID-19 in the future how we would go about mitigating that and still doing what we're being tasked to do for our nation.
So as usual in the training, you learned how to take on another enemy, and you got it done, sir. We're speaking to Colonel Tim Kemp, who's the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, after you were out to NTC and beating up all that equipment out in the high desert and the heat and all of that, we shipped all that equipment back here and up to Camp Ripley, and they had to get it ready for the next mission. How'd they do?
They did a phenomenal job. I mean, we've got some of the best sustainers and maintainers in the Army here in the Minnesota Guard. So, yeah, they came back. It was going to be a challenge to meet what we were hoping to do initially, which was a 60-day recovery of all of our tanks and Bradleys, which includes wait time for parts to come from the Army as a whole, as an enterprise, to get to Minnesota so we could hang those parts and fix our vehicles and equipment. And we ended up getting all of it to 90% plus readiness. Actually, it was 98% readiness at the 45-day mark. So the logistics community up at Camp Ripley and across the state as part of the brigade in the state did an unbelievable job, so much so that we've been sharing our lessons learned with the rest of the Armored Brigade combat teams in the Army as we go forward. And it builds a model that we can utilize for deployment in the future.
Colonel, we're really fortunate here in Minnesota to have an asset like Camp Ripley and all the great people up there, and then that maintenance facility kind of gives you an edge over a lot of the other states, I would think.
Yeah, that definitely does, and most importantly, it gives us an edge over those that we would have to prepare to conduct a mission, and the support that we need in order to support our state and our nation. So we know, and we have a lot of confidence in our sustainment maintainers, and we know that our equipment will always be ready for our soldiers that we maintain and we prepare for our missions.
Colonel, I know that you're preparing for a pending mobilization, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment, but while you're doing that, it's been busy here in Minnesota due to the pandemic, due to some of the civil unrest that's going on. Have your 1st Brigade soldiers been part of those state missions, those state call-ups to help our friends and neighbors here in Minnesota?
Yeah, they have, and it's been wonderful watching them do what we can tell by the conversation we have with them and the pride that they show in their mission, that this to them gives them the most pride and is their highest priority mission, is to be here at home doing a state mission, helping out Minnesotans. So they have done numerous COVID-19 task force missions to include supporting the testing. Long-term care facilities, taking care of our elderly in the homes are most vulnerable, which so proud of them for doing that. And now they've also evolved a little bit into there to help with the immunizations with the nurses and the medical folks that show up there to support them to run the process so the medical folks can focus on getting that vaccine into the arms of Minnesotans. And they volunteer and they stay on and they love the mission. Most of them tell me that it's the proudest they've ever been, even through all the missions and NTC and deployments and everything else. This is the proudest they've ever been as a Minnesota Guardsman.
It's amazing to watch it, sir. They do a remarkable job, and they're resilient. One last question before we go to the break. For the pending mobilization, will those soldiers have an opportunity to get the vaccine before they go, so that's one less thing to worry about?
Yeah, we're going through a process now and it's a prioritization of the vaccine. We don't know exactly how much is going to come into the state and when. And then when they go to Fort Bliss, that's where they're going to mobilize out of. They'll have another shipment of immunization there for them to go through the vaccine. The priority will be those that either are themselves have a health issue but are still deployable, or interact with those that might have a health issue, like our medical providers and things like that, to get the vaccine first. And then to the general population of the soldiers that are going to deploy, on or about 1,000 soldiers are going to deploy through Fort Bliss and then onward to the Middle East.
Thank you, sir. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this pending mobilization. We're speaking to Colonel Tim Kemp, commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking to Colonel Tim Kemp, who is the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, which is part of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division here in Minnesota. And, sir, we talked a little bit about the NTC, and there's an upcoming deployment. The 34th ECAB just got back, and we've got another part, some other Red Bulls out there. We've got the two of the 135 over in the Horn of Africa, and they must be about halfway through with their deployment. Any update on them, sir?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, Tom. 2135 are what we call our task force bayonets. I've done a phenomenal job in the Horn of Africa. They mobilized last summer, and if you remember, that was also in a COVID-19 environment, and they went through that very initial days of the virus deployment, moved into the Horn of Africa, and have been conducting missions to support our partners and to support our interests and our soldiers and our equipment and that are in the Horn of Africa. Their mission has been to secure all of our soldiers and equipment and bases that have been selected there, and along with our partners. And they've had the opportunity to do some pretty aggressive training with some of the military's ranger-type forces that are over there. So pretty HUA training, we would call it. And then they're now within about 30 to 90 days of returning back to Minnesota. So we really look forward to seeing all of our bayonets being reunited with their families late spring this year.
Very good, sir. And I think we have a chance to talk to Lieutenant Colonel Chip Rankin, who is the battalion commander, early in April, to get a report on his deployment. And it'll be fun to welcome them back. Now, Colonel, my observation is when we get to the top of the training regiment, which you just did with the 1st Brigade Combat Team at the National Training Center, usually the reward for successfully navigating that is you get to go again. So I know you've been preparing for another deployment this year. That's your reward. You did a good job. Now you have to deploy. And I understand that was going to be a large deployment, but it's gone through some changes since NTC.
Yeah, we went through multiple iterations of evolution. Across the Army and across the globe, there's been a realignment strategy. I should say a national strategy, actually, has been realigned, and some of the forces have been adjusted as to where they deploy or the size of their deployments. And we originally thought the entire brigade combat team, or three-quarters of it at least, was going to deploy. When we went to NTC, that was still the plan. And when we got back, it went from about three-quarters of the brigade down to a half. And then now it's at what they would consider a quarter of the armed brigade combat team, which is approximately 1,000 soldiers. The headquarters for that, it'll be a battalion task force that'll deploy armor. A heavy battalion task force. The headquarters will be 1194 Armor. They're centered out of Brainerd, but their companies are throughout the central part of Minnesota and in St. Paul. And then two companies will come out of 2136 Infantry. They're all from Bravo companies out of 2136, are from the northwestern corner of the state. And then sustainment elements from our brigade support battalion, 134th, from Camp Ripley. So they're going to be deploying here in just the next 30 to 60 days over to the Middle East, go through Fort Bliss and do Operation Spartan Shield, which is the same type of mission I described for 2135, but for all of our partners and for our soldiers and our assets that are in the Middle East.
So, sir, who will be commanding that deployment then?
Yeah, that'll be Lieutenant Colonel Jake Helgested and Sergeant Major Mansky will be the battalion task force commander and sergeant major for that deployment.
And Colonel, I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate, but our Red Bull soldiers have been over the Middle East a lot over the last decade or more, and so probably most of them know where they're going and what to expect.
Yeah, and it's interesting that, you know, the Operation Spartan Shield was something back when Colonel Kurska was a brigade commander back in 2011 and 12. We were the ones who wrote the first Operation Spartan Shield operations order back then. And, of course, over the years, decades, our soldiers have all been over there numerous times. The commander, Lieutenant Colonel Jake Helgested, was over there as a young enlisted man years ago, and now he's a battalion commander taking a battalion task force of 1,000 soldiers over there. to do some of the same missions in the same location. So he doesn't have any difficulty in visualizing where he's going and what he needs to do for his mission.
Colonel, you've been there so long that we've even taken the radio show there twice, and we were there with Colonel Kurska back in 2011. So even Sergeant Ben and I have a good idea of what's going to happen over there. So I'm sure all of those soldiers will be ready and well-trained and ready to go over there. We're talking with Tim Kemp, who's the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, one of the things that you and I have talked about several times is while your soldiers are deployed, there's a lot of support for the families back here in Minnesota. How important is that to your commanders and to your soldiers and to the mission?
It's critical. It's so critical. And we are really, truly, truly blessed to have some of the best. Well, I shouldn't even say some of the best. You know, our overall family support network, which includes our Yellow Ribbon, our Minnesota Military Family Fund, our actual family support personnel, our volunteers, and then also some of the employees that we have that support our families, have been rated and evaluated as the best in the nation for a very, very long time. As a matter of fact, we just had another evaluation last year, and they were voted the best in the nation again. And to us, that's the standard, because our families are the most important thing. And when you talked with all of those personnel and then all of those that support those organizations, like yourself with the Minnesota Military Family Fund, Tom, the pride and the commitment, just you can just tell it when you have a conversation with them, that there isn't anything that they wouldn't do if they didn't have the resource to do it. So we appreciate that. And, you know, our family support group members and their points of contact at each one of the companies is very, very prepared for this deployment. The families had a family prep academy, so they got to know all those points of contact. And they're highly trained to help them with whatever they need based on the situation that they're going through at the time. So that really gives me comfort and confidence that I can send our soldiers forward, that their families, their communities, and their employers are all connected to their soldier that's going forward, that they help support and allow to serve to do what we need to do.
Sir, one of my other frequent guests on the show is Chaplain Wynn, and it's always fun to see which chaplain is going with the troops and which chaplain is going to be back here working with the families, because they're supported on both sides of the deployments pretty well from what I've heard.
Yeah, they are. And Chaplain Wynn is bar none one of the best that we can possibly have, and the network and the training and that he's developed in his chaplain corps in the state has been remarkable. So I've been thoroughly briefed, and we've done very diligent planning to make sure that we have the chaplain support and the family support back here in the state and forward. And he does an amazing job of making sure both the forward and those back here in the state are tied together and are monitoring all of our soldiers and families.
That's got to be comforting as well, sir. Colonel, we've only got a couple of minutes left. What else are you looking forward to in 2021? Seems like 2020 was one of the busiest years ever. What do you think 2021 is going to look for like for the brigade?
Well, I think the brigade, as we talked about the deployments, so we really look forward to 2135 being back home with their families. Just a phenomenal job. Proud of them. 194 Armor and 2136 and the BSB elements going out the door together as one big task force. We're on the Red Ball Pass going forward. Really look forward to seeing what they're capable of doing while they're forward. I fully expect that they'll be doing an excellent job. They're very, very trained and ready to go forward. They're very well led all the way down to the squad leader level. They've proven themselves at the National Training Center. That's why we went there, was to ensure that all of our leaders and soldiers were prepared to go. So, and then with the family support piece, like you mentioned, Tom, they are ready to go, and so are their families. And then we'll continue to do what our civil authorities need of us, to include, you know, the COVID-19 mitigations, the vaccines, and any support that we can provide there from Minnesotans going forward here. So we're tied in more than we ever have been ever since last summer with our overall civil authorities, and talk with them on a regular basis to ensure that we're ready to support them and ensure that Minnesotans can exercise all of their First Amendment rights the fullest extent possible in a safe manner, and to help secure our communities and our businesses.
Sir, we just got about 30 seconds left, but for all of our listeners all over Minnesota, if there were some young folks thinking about joining the Minnesota Army National Guard and being part of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, What would you have to say to them? It's been a pretty good ride so far, hasn't it?
Yeah, they'd be joining an organization of a bunch of special people that stand up and volunteer. They know all of the soldiers that joined, specifically in the last 5 or 6 years, know that the Minnesota National Guard is busy doing things for Minnesotans and for our nation. And the ones that joined over the last 15 to 20 years knew what they were signing up to do, which is deploy and to support our nation. So it's an organization of very special individuals, and they take pride, and so could they if they signed up to be a Minnesota Army National Guardsman, take pride in what they do and see the amazing faces of Minnesotans and how they respond when you're there to help them.
Thank you, sir. We're out of time. I'd like to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today for Minnesota Military Radio.
Yep, anytime, Tom. I appreciate your help. You always make this easy when we come in here because you're such a good, you know the organization so well, and you've been part of the supportive organization so long, so thank you.
Thank you, sir. For an old Air Force guy, I am learning some of this Army stuff. I think it's Sergeant Ben that does that. But thanks for joining us, sir. That was Colonel Tim Kemp, commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk about Minnesota's vet centers. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs offers support and customer service 7 days a week to Minnesota's veterans and their families. LinkVet is Minnesota's one-stop shop that offers immediate answers with one-on-one assistance for all veteran-related questions and needs. You can also visit MinnesotaVeteran.org to chat with a VetLink representative or to search our large question and answer database. Call 1-888-LINKVET. Almost any veteran issue or question you have can be addressed by the professional LinkVet staff by contacting 1-888-LINKVET.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said, we're going to talk today about our vet centers here in Minnesota, and specifically about readjustment counseling services. And joining us to talk about that is Lina Knox. Lina, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you for having me back. I appreciate it.
Lina, I should also welcome you back to the United States because you serve in the Minnesota National Guard and you just got back from a deployment.
I did. I was with the 34th ECAP, deployed in Kuwait. So I returned home in October of 2020, and that was my third deployment. I'm actually happy to be back and getting back to work and working with veterans. So kind of nice. Hopefully it's my last deployment.
So that was your third deployment. How tough is it when you're over there in the Middle East? Do you get into a rhythm and it just goes day by day?
It does. This time my mission was a little different. I was with the NCO Academy helping. I was an assistant for helping soldiers get promoted to E5. And so I was at BLC as an instructor. So about 6 months of the deployment, I was trying to get soldiers through BLC and getting them promoted from E4 to E5. So
that's good mission, helping all your battle buddies get promoted. That's kind of fun.
That's right. That was great.
Lina, we have to get to work, and we want to talk today about Minnesota's Vet Center. Can you describe, what is a Vet Center?
Okay, a Vet Center, there's 300 nationwide, and so it is. The Vet Centers are part of the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, part of the VA. So we're Veterans Health Administration that we fall under. And so veterans and military personnel have an option of either going to the VA hospital for mental health, they can go to the clinics, or they can come to a vet center. And so it's just another option for veterans and their families. Now, what makes us a little different than the options of the VA hospital or the VA CBOC is that we can be able to see family members, the spouses, significant others, and children of that service member. That makes us different, as well as we're confidential, so we don't have an agreement with the Department of Defense, so they cannot see any of their records. So those who are still serving in the military, especially those who are in the National Guard, the Department of Defense cannot look into our records. So our records is confidential, and we're the only ones that can see it, to include the VA hospitals and the clinics. So it's up to the veteran or the service member to release their information back to the VA hospital, even though we fall under the same umbrella. With that, what makes us confidential so veterans and military personnel can continue to get services. The other thing is that we're not just open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30, but our hours expand after 4:30 as well. So each vet center is a little different when it comes to time. And so anything after 4:30, we just ask for veterans or their family members to schedule an appointment to make sure that we have a clinician available at that time for them, as well as we provide services on the weekends. There's no appointments necessary. We do take walk-ins, and there's 3 vet centers in the state of Minnesota, plus our surrounding borders. So when vet centers were placed strategically throughout the United States, they never looked at state lines. They looked at the population of veterans. So when you look at where vet centers are, where that border our states, there's a vet center in Fargo, and that Fargo vet center covers that northern corner for us. So veterans don't have to travel all the way to Duluth, where one of our vet centers are located, but Fargo can go down to Detroit Lakes and that surrounding area. And then Sioux Falls, so any veteran that lives in that southwest corner, Sioux Falls Vet Center can be able to help. And then La Crosse Vet Center in Wisconsin covers that other end of the south end. Now, between the 3 vet centers in the state, each of us, we split up the state as far as where we provide services. And so for us, the location I'm out of, which is in Anoka, we cover the north, west, south part of the metro, and then west and central Minnesota, to include having some of our areas out in St. Cloud and a little further west.
Very good. We're speaking with Lina Knox, a veteran outreach specialist on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Lina, you just got back from a deployment with the 34th ECAB, and when you come back with 700 soldiers, I imagine there's some of them that might need some help transitioning back from full-time soldier to civilian. And is that part of the readjustment counseling that you provide for those soldiers and those troops coming home?
Yes. So a lot of our services that I've noticed that I've had referred a lot of soldiers to are the individual counseling, marital and family counseling. We do have a few support groups that are going on, as well as, veterans that are looking for employment. We help with employment resources, financial resources. Sometimes there's that financial need. So any part of what a veteran and their family consider that is a struggle for them when it comes to readjustment, that's what we help with. So our services range from counseling all the way to say, hey, this is a website or this is an organization that can help fix your car for either low to no cost at all.
So you're an expert on all the resources available and try to help them any way you can. Now, Lina, can you tell me who's eligible to come to a vet center and get some help?
Okay, yeah. So right now, our criteria for eligibility is those who are currently serving in the military, those who serve on a deployment, military sexual trauma or sexual harassment. And I just want to make sure that is very clear. If a soldier has not reported military sexual harassment or trauma in the military, that is okay. When it comes to discharge, we don't look at the discharge. So it doesn't matter if that service member has under dishonorable discharge or other than honorable, we will still see them. I know that's a little different criteria than the VA Medical Center. You have to have an honorable discharge, but we don't look at the discharge status, as well as whoever they consider as family members can. And then one of our new things now is that due to the pandemic and the increase of state active duty, we are people, National Guard members, who are currently on state active duty or who have got activated for state active duty are now eligible for Vet Center services.
Well, Lina, I see in my briefing material, it says here that Vietnam-era veterans who have accessed care at the Vet Center prior to January 2013 are also eligible. What are you doing with my fellow Vietnam veterans?
You know, hey, you know, Vietnam vets, they're the ones that helped us create the Vet Center, right? And so, you know, we pay tribute to those who served. And, you know, we try to find a way to get a yes, you know, for them to be able to get free services. And sometimes a lot of those Vietnam-era veterans haven't went to a Vet Center prior to that criteria, and we'll still see them.
Okay, so they're welcome if they need some help. And what's the best way for a veteran to get a hold of you or one of the other Vet Centers?
Okay, so, you know, we just tell veterans they can go to www.vetcenter.va.gov or 1-877-WAR-VET. Or just you can find us. Our ANOCA location is 763-503-2220. And we can be able to refer you to the closest Vet Center near you.
Very good, Lina. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the services that you provide at the Vet Centers here in Minnesota. We're speaking with Lina Knox, who is a veteran outreach specialist from the VA Centers on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Lina Knox, who is a veteran outreach specialist with the ANOCA location of the Vet Centers, who recently just got back from a deployment to the Middle East with the 34th ECAB, and she's been explaining to us what the Vet Centers are all about and a little bit about what readjustment counseling services are. And Lina, I wanted to just ask you, the big issue for the last year has been the COVID-19. Has that affected your Vet Centers?
It has a little bit, but it has increased our services, though. We are starting to do video conference with veterans and their family members, as well as phone calls or sessions with individuals. So that has increased. You know, we definitely take the same protocol that the VA Medical Center has, which is, you know, making sure people wear masks and having a COVID screening. But there are individuals that they either just don't want to wear a mask, and we respect that. And, you know, and with that being said, is that we allow them to have phone sessions or video sessions with our providers instead.
Okay, and then we talked a little bit about who is eligible, and we were talking about active duty military, those that have experienced some kind of military sexual trauma or harassment, state active duty, Vietnam veterans, and then service and combat theater, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Lebanon, Grenada, Bosnia, Kosovo, and all the current deployments. But I want to get into a little bit on the services you offer, because when we look at this list of Vet Center services, it starts with individuals and groups.
Yes. You know, my biggest thing is, you know, what does the veteran or the service member need, right? For some, they just really want to have camaraderie, and their only focus is group work. And group work can look completely different for everybody. Some people, we have a combat support group, and that helps them. And there are some that they don't want to sit down and talk about their feelings in a group. And that's totally fine. And so we have wellness and recreation groups. So currently, right now, we have a veteran softball team. We actually have two teams going on right now. And so for some of those veterans, that is just getting out of the house. That's not for them to isolate. That reduces their depression, anxiety, and that helps them. And that could be part of group work. There are some veterans who like guitar. And so we teach them how to play guitar. And then they go out and play in a jam session with other veterans. And so it depends on what they are looking for and how and what kind of need that we can provide to them. Now, there are some that, you know, for them, it's their issue is like maybe communication and relationship. And so we help them with that. Or maybe it's the transition as they are coming back home from a deployment or leaving to a deployment, and it's hard for their children to transition. And so we work with the families and we work with the children to help better transition. And one of the things a lot of people don't know about the Vet Center is that, you know, if a service member is currently serving on a deployment, we are currently seeing the family members. That makes them eligible. Even though we don't have a service record for that particular individual, that is okay. We do not want, you know, that to be a barrier for veterans and their families. So if they're currently still overseas serving and a family member's like, yes, I need some help, please contact us and we can be able to provide that service for you and your family.
Alina, I understand you sometimes get into some tough things like bereavement counseling. You provide that when there's a death in the family as well?
We do. And, you know, for bereavement, it's so our standard for the VA or the Vet Center is that just to make sure that that person will have to, if they die during them being in service, right? So if they're in National Guard, they die, active duty status, we can do the bereavement. And for some of our bereavement, it's their service member, loved one passed away years ago, and they're still looking for counseling. We provide that. So there's no limitation there at all. And it doesn't matter what the cause of the departure of that soldier is.
Lina, we've only got about a minute left, but I want to touch on substance abuse assessment and referral. You said you're an independent and you don't report to DOD. So if some of our military or service members are having trouble with substance abuse, they can come and get some help from you without leadership knowing about it.
Correct. And all of the same guidelines of what the Guard provides as far as like the assessment, drug assessments and all of that, we provide that same thing free of charge. And we'll make sure that we get those soldiers the correct help or the appropriate care for them so they can continue to have, you know, great service in the military.
Lina, I'm glad you're out there with the Vet Services and able to help our veterans. Can you tell us one more time, where do they go online to find the Vet Centers?
Yep. If they just Google vetcenter.va.gov or 1-877-WAR-VET, you can give us a call and we'll get you to the closest Vet Center near you.
Lina, welcome back from that deployment, and thank you for doing what you're doing in the Vet Centers, and it's been a delight talking to you today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Have a good day.
That was Lina Knox, a veteran outreach specialist with the Vet Centers. Joining me now from the flag line in the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhard. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. It's great to be here, and we appreciate the time.
2021, we're hoping that we can put the 2020 and the pandemic in our rearview mirror and not have to talk about that too much. But how's that been impacting the Minnesota Patriot Guard, the coronavirus pandemic?
When it first came out, we pretty much postponed a lot of missions and couldn't go to them. And then we were able to get some protocols in place and so we can attend and safely and keep our people safe from getting coronaviruses and everything else, keeping our distances. The flag line is naturally a 6 foot apart person because we've got a 3x5 flag, and if you don't want to get whipped in the face with your person that's standing next to your flag, you got to stay 6 feet apart.
Well, you've been socially distancing those for years.
Oh, yeah. We're way ahead of our time.
Way ahead. So, Tim, tell me, if a family loses a loved one that is a veteran and they'd like to have the Minnesota Patriot Guard come to the funeral, how do they arrange for that to happen?
Actually, the easiest way is to go to our webpage at mnpatriotguard.org, and on the left side, there's a button that says request the Patriot Guard. And we need to have it to be a immediate family or the funeral director or the CACO or the whoever's in charge of the family, contact us. It needs to be somebody that we can't have just anybody inviting us, because sometimes the family doesn't want anybody else there and we don't want to be an intrusion.
So you never go unless you're invited by the immediate family. And if they invite you, then
yes.
You put out the word to everybody. How do you do that?
Oh, yeah. Yep. An email chain. We have emails from the ride captains. We have a newsletter that goes out every Wednesday. We have multiple avenues of getting the communication out. We have a web page with a calendar on it so our members can go out there and look at the calendar and see what's coming up. We want to make it as easy as it can for our members and to plan their days and come out to the missions that are available.
And when they see that, if they're available to go, they grab their flag and the pole that's with it and their vest and their dark glasses,
yep.
And they show up, talk to the ride captain, he'll get everybody organized, and it's all about what, Tim?
Honor, dignity, and respect.
For those who have served.
And
if somebody wants to become a rider, part of the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders, all they have to do is go sign up online, right?
Yes, yep, same web page, mnpatriotguard.org. On the left side, it says join us. And just click on that, fill out all the information, and ride captain will start sending you emails and telling you what's available in your area. And you just have to pick and choose what you can do.
Very good, sir. So it's open to everybody, not just anybody with a good heart and a flag can join and come and help with this process.
Yes.
Tim, I hope the winter's over
soon.
I hope the winter's over soon and you can get your motorcycle. But thanks for joining us today, Tim.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Lina Knox, Colonel Tim Kemp, Tim Leonhardt, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we learn about a new way to connect with the VA and meet the team behind one of Minnesota's newest Yellow Ribbon networks. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.